The following interview was recorded in the year 2017 by the Gawler Community Broadcasting Association as part of the Gawler Oral History Interview Project.
Maureen McKenzie here today with Graham Tucker, who's willing to be part of the Oral History Project, and the date today is the 7th of March. Now, Graham, how long have you lived in Gawler?
I came to Gawler in 1990, so 1990. That would bring us to, this is the 27th year.
27 years, Okay. And in that time, what have you seen as far as the changes go in Gawler?
Changes have been fairly dramatic, in particularly in the population. The population has increased considerably in those years. A lot of new areas have been opened up to housing. One very close to where I am here, with the new housing settlement out at the end of Calton Road.
Mm-hmm.
So that's been the most dramatic things. Since I came here, I've retired.
Right.
And I joined the Gawler Visitor Centre as a volunteer,
right,
and then later on I joined the National Trust,
okay,
as a volunteer,
yes,
at their museum.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you personally, when you first came here, you said you'd retired. What was your occupation?
I was a salesman in the merchandise department of Elder Smith & Co.
All right.
And I was with them for something like 37 years, I think.
And where were they situated?
I didn't work in Gawler.
Right.
My last branch was the store at Cavan. But in between, I'd been to Panola, Mount Gambier, Gladstone. When I was shifted from Gladstone, I went back to live in Modbury, where I stayed for 28 years. And I had various positions with elders over the next 30-odd years. I was in the machinery department.
What did that entail?
We had quite a range of reasonably heavy farm machinery in those days. Eventually, for some reason or other, we got out of it.
Mm-hmm.
But we had quite a good range. We had scrub rakes. Of course, scrub rakes became illegal eventually. The clearing of scrub was banned.
Right.
But we sold one that was made in Western Australia, a Pedrick scrub rake. We sold hay baling equipment. But one of the major products we had was a wide line cultivator, and it was one of the first wide line cultivators to come on the market.
Okay.
Yeah, the wide line cultivator was not much different to a harrow bar, but they were designed for relatively light cultivating,
mm-hmm,
very efficient at it.
Mm-hmm.
Quite amazingly, the sizes, the width of cultivating ranged from, memory, 27 feet,
mm-hmm,
to 45 feet wide.
Right.
Only ever sold one 45 footer, and that was over at Kimber on the west coast.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
From that, I went into Elders Hardware Division. They started up two hardware outlets. One was in the city and suburbs, and that was called Elders Building Supplies.
Yes.
The one I went into was called Elders Industrial Merchandise. And we went into country areas,
right,
and we actually opened up hardware stores at Mildura, Murray Bridge,
mm-hmm,
Narracourt,
right,
Mount Gambier,
yes,
and Port Lincoln.
Lovely.
And this was quite a new venture for Elders, and it came about because Elders got a new general manager in John Elliott.
Okay.
And he came here with some bright ideas.
What else did you get involved in Gawler area?
Well, in the Gawler area, since I've been here and involved with both the visitor centre and the museum, mm-hmm. one of the things I started off at the visitor centre was doing town walking tours.
Oh, yes.
And when we had a group of people that wanted to have a good look around the town,
right.
I'd take them for a wander around about a 3-4 kilometre walk around the town. And then we started to get a number of the bus services looking for a guide to go on the buses.
Right.
So I started doing that. And I've done some for the museum also. Mm-hmm. And that was quite interesting. The walks, I really had to give that up in the end because a funny thing called sciatica came upon me. And
that will stop you.
That stopped me. It stopped me in my tracks. But I still do the odd bus tour, particularly for the museum.
Mm-hmm. So when you think back, say back to the 1990s, what would you say was a dramatic change in this neighbourhood?
I've got to stop and think about that. In the neighbourhood or in the...
Well, just in Gawler, I suppose.
In Gawler itself.
Mm.
There's never been any dramatic changes in Gawler. There have always been steady, slow, something's going to happen and eventually happens. We don't seem to be in a situation where all of a sudden something totally dramatic comes upon us and life changes to something that we hadn't expected. It's just been steady change. I suppose if you want a dramatic change, the dramatic change was the work that was done on Murray Street. Widening of the footpaths, narrowing of the roads, cutting out any heavy traffic in the main street and shoving around the back streets. That's probably one of the significant things that I can think that's happened here, and I won't say always with my full blessing, but people with more brains than I do think of these things, I'm afraid.
Yes, yes. So have you ever sat on council?
No, the previous mayor, Brian Samble, tried to talk me into it once, but he didn't get very far with it, I'm afraid. I did contemplate it for a little short while, but no, I've never sat on council. I won't say I'm sorry, I didn't.
Okay. And have you any stories that you could tell us that of your, since you've been living in Gawler, that stick in your mind?
I could tell you lots about Brian Samble.
We have to be careful.
I went to England with him 18 months ago. We had a really good trip.
Yeah, that's
isn't it nice, Brian? I've said something nice about him.
Can you think of any historical things that you've been part of as far as Gawler goes?
Well, mainly the historical things have been what I've got involved with and had to learn about to be able to do the tours of the town.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
I've also done several historical features during what they call the History Month of May.
Oh, right.
Where
I've
either done bus tours, historical bus tours, or some walking tours and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, for example, we did five cemeteries.
Okay.
And that included the two little German cemeteries out on the Two Wells Road.
That would be interesting.
Lewes and Buchfelder. And, of course, to do those, I had to do a bit of research on the people that were buried out there and their story. Those particular people were known as the either the 48ers or 49ers. So 48 was the year that they got involved in a revolution back home in Germany. And
this is 1948.
1848.
Okay, yes.
And they got into trouble with the authorities there, and they were going to be in all sorts of trouble. And a fellow by the name of Leopold Busch, B-U-C-H,
mm-hmm.
he helped them to escape, and quite a number of them, and they got on the ship and came to Australia. Hence the name of Buchfelder.
Okay.
So it was named after him, Mr. Bush's Field.
Oh, right.
Lewes is only about a kilometre away from it, and that was another group that came a little later. And in each case, one of the first to arrive became at that stage the Lutheran pastor for that area.
Mm-hmm.
So Otto Schomburg at Buxfelder,
mm-hmm.
and then later on was Mr. Rodiger. I've forgotten his Christian name, but doesn't matter.
Yes.
He was the pastor at Lewes.
Mm-hmm.
So those sort of things tend to make a reasonably good story when you've got a group of people that want to know about a place. The other cemeteries we did here was the Anglican Cemetery, the Williston Cemetery, and also a visit to Pioneer Park,
right,
which
yes.
was the first cemetery in Gawler.
From,
yeah, so mainly that's how I've got involved with the history of Gawler, is from having to swat up on things when I did tours.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we've done tours on Big John McKinley, and again, that was another one of interest, and as much interest to me as the people I'm taking around.
Mm. So you could tell me a bit about Oakden House.
A little.
Oakden Estate, which we live on that.
Right.
In front of it.
Oaklands.
It's called Oak.
Oaklands.
Oaklands, is it?
Yeah.
Oaklands Estate.
That's right.
Up on Dawes.
Dawes Road.
Dawes Road.
Yep.
We were on McKinley.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and we've got a photograph of John McKinley in front of the house.
All right, with some other people in the wooden tree stump there that's
right.
shaped like a dog.
Yes.
Yes, I've seen. Yeah. Yes, okay, that place was built somewhere around about 1869.
Was it?
For, not for John McKinley, though, but for James Pyle. James Pyle.
Pyle.
McKinley and Pyle had become acquainted across the border in New South Wales,
mm-hmm.
and Pyle was looking for some land over there, and McKinley was able to find the land that he wanted. And I guess about that stage there, probably old James had his daughter
mm-hmm.
with him, and they must have nodded each other, and and eventually, after McKinley had been involved with the Birkenwills mm-hmm. relief party,
mm.
he came back to here to Gawler, and he married Jane, and mm. he then lived in Oaklands. In later years, Oaklands changed hands, and there were two brothers in there that apparently, the story goes, they didn't get on with each other, and they actually divided the house down the centre, and you live in that half, I live in this half. And as a result of that, if you look at it today, you'll see that it's been permanently divided down the centre.
That's
and
our
it's
fence.
Now on two separate titles.
Yes,
yeah.
That's our fence.
Is it?
Mm.
Yeah, so a lovely old place, mm. yeah.
Mm. The old lady just passed away.
Oh, right.
Mm.
So that's about all I can tell you about it.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Mm.
Mm. Yeah, we've been talking to the family because there's a tree there that we'd like to disappear.
Mm. I got one next door.
That's one. It's a pine tree. Mm.
So that's... I mean, again, we trundle around there and I stick my nose in the driveway and show people the house and
mm-hmm.
we discuss it. And presumably the same people are in the southern side of it that were there, been there for a few years. And
yes.
The lady there was always quite accommodating. Yes, mm-hmm. yeah, bring your bus
that's
in.
That's on the Oaklands part.
Yes.
Yes, on the Dawes Road. Yeah, the other lady that was there, she was visually impaired.
Oh, right.
So she very much kept to herself.
Yeah.
You know. But, we just like Gawler with all the significant areas and the historical side.
Yeah.
So what other places are of interest here in Gawler, do you think, to others?
Well, with the walking tour, the most interesting part of that was Church Hill, Cowan Street.
Yes.
When Colonel Light came here with his partner, Mr. starts with an F. anyway, with his partner,
yes.
They determined that that area was going to be the main street of Gawler.
Now, Church Hill?
Church Hill.
Right.
Now, there seems to be a thought that when people move into a new area, the place that lives in the main street.
Mm-hmm.
So in the 1840s, there were many houses built in the main street of what was going to be the main street,
Mm-hmm.
But then that didn't take into account the fact that copper was going to be found up at Burra and Kapunda.
Oh, okay, yes.
And the Bullockies had to start bringing that down and carting it down to Port Adelaide.
Mm-hmm.
And they come to the North Barra River, and they, lo and behold, there was a ford. They go straight south to the South Barra River, and bless me, there's another ford.
Mm-hmm.
So they kept running them backwards and forwards between those, and of course, by this time, prior to that happening, someone had built a pub, the Old Spot Hotel.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually people would start building commercial premises on these cart tracks that were being made. So that became the main street.
Mm-hmm.
And Cowan Street reverted back to just a residential street, which is just as well because it's virtually a dead end.
Yes.
You can't go anywhere on it.
No.
So that's where there are just so many, and not just in Cowan Street. There's a whole block down there. It covers probably five or six different streets, but all lovely old 1840s style houses.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's quite interesting
area
to people to look at, yeah.
Yes.
And then add to the fact that there's five churches, three still operating and two others, five churches in that area, which give it the name of Church Hill.
Mm.
Yeah, so that's probably one of the most interesting parts of Gawler to take people to tell them about the history of the town.
Mm. And what about my understanding was Gawler was quite involved in the ironmonger industry? And
well, with four foundries in the town,
mm-hmm.
of course, going back, starting off with James Martin.
Yes.
He arrived in Gawler in 1848.
Right.
Almost with a seat out of his pants. You know, he didn't have a lot going, but mm-hmm. he had some tools.
Okay.
And with those tools, he started up a small business.
Mm-hmm.
He had some bits and pieces that he could make a lathe with.
Yes.
So he acquired a river red gum, which he managed to chop down and form up the framework of a lathe, and then use the pieces he brought with him.
Mm-hmm.
And before very long, he was on the way to starting the Phoenix Foundry.
Okay.
Now, Phoenix Foundry today... Pardon?
Whereabouts was that?
The Phoenix Foundry's on the corner of High Street and Calton Road.
Okay, yes.
Eventually that became 19 acres of central Gawler land. Some of it dribbled over into Murray Street,
mm-hmm.
even where OPSM are today, that was the office. So, you know, there was a lot of it. Probably 5 years ago, the property was sold for redevelopment.
Mm-hmm.
When it was sold, it was declared to be 3-point-something hectare.
Right.
So, we saw, say, 7 acres.
Right.
All the other 12 acres have all gone into commercial premises.
All right.
Or been deleted.
Mm-hmm.
They had to keep the facade, which mm-hmm. is quite normal. And, of course, now it's a three-storey car park and Target.
Oh, right.
Or probably because we're living in Gawler, we call it by its proper name, Target,
yes. Yeah, that's quite significant.
Now, that was only one of the four foundries.
Right.
When he started, he was started off by making farm machinery.
Mm-hmm.
And he made farm machinery because Gawler was already, by 1848, was already showing signs of being a good grain-growing area.
Right, yep.
There were no ploughs or anything being brought in from England, because most of the people coming in on the sailing ships were bringing their own personal belongings.
Okay.
So somebody had to make them, and he started making the farm machinery. In the mid-1880s, he got his first contract to make 59 steam locomotives.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually made over 150 of them. When he got that contract, Frederick and Alfred May, the brothers, decided to pull out of the company because Frederick had always wanted his own foundry. So he formed May Brothers.
Mm-hmm.
And the two of them went down to near the railway station, the Gawler Station,
mm-hmm.
and they set up their foundry down there. Now, they couldn't have been luckier, because virtually just after they started, Broken Hill South Mine came on stream.
Oh, right.
They wanted big dewatering pumps. They wanted winding gears to get the men down the mine and the product up. And my brothers got contracts for that, and they got contracts from all over Australia for mining equipment.
Wow.
Frederick May was an absolute genius.
Mm.
So that was those two. Initially, Frederick May lived in Lindock Road, directly opposite the Lutheran School.
Right.
And a lovely house there now with a brush fence and...
Mm-hmm.
And that was called Euke House, E-U-C-K House. He then, when they went down to near the railway station, he then bought a house down there called Sunnybrae, a mere, I believe, 17 rooms, so just a little shack. And he lived down there. Alfred May purchased the home of Mr. Wincy, a one-time mayor of Gawler, called Tortola House, which is opposite what's now the Uniting Church. Big two-story place
yes,
there.
Yes.
And he lived...
In Todd Street. So that was
Alfred.
To be the Mads.
And when they closed down May Brothers...
Yes.
In the early 1900s...
Yes.
Alfred sold that building to the church.
Mm-hmm.
He got a valuation of £4,000, and he sold it to the church for £1,000.
Wow.
And it became the manse. Yeah. Yes. It's back into private hands again now.
Yes.
But Tortola House, an interesting thing with that, if you want history of Gawler, Mr. Wincy, who said was the mayor, he bought the little bungalow to the east of Tortola House, behind Tortola House,
mm-hmm.
and then he built the two-story place on the front of it.
Mm-hmm.
The bricks he used there, the red bricks, I believe, came from Gawler. They were made here. The white bricks actually came out as ballast on sailing ships.
Oh, okay.
But if you look at the design of it, it's what's known as Italianate design. Go back a little bit further on to Mr. Wincy.
Mm-hmm.
His real name was Da Vinci.
Oh, okay.
So he anglicised his name.
God,
hence the mm-hmm. Italian design on the house.
Mm-hmm.
And the name of Tortola came from a place in the West Indies where his grandmother came from.
Mm. It's got a wonderful fountain out the front.
It has, mm. yes. Used to have I think they called it a widow's walk up on the roof.
Oh.
It's gone now, but it would have been a great lookout up there in its days, but of course everyone's built trees and houses and buildings around it, so it wouldn't show up anything now. The only other thing about it, if you ever go down past it, have a look at the chimneys on the original bungalow.
Mm.
They've all been extended by about 7 or 8 feet
right.
to cater for the fact that he built a two-story house alongside it.
Okay.
They wouldn't draw.
Oh,
so he had to extend the height of
them. So he couldn't light it.
Mm. No, they would have filled the house out with smoke. Mm.
So what can you tell me about the Martindale House?
Martindale was originally the home of a fellow by the name of Emil Thorup. Emil Thorup was a pharmacist in the town.
Mm-hmm.
He built the southerly part of it, the square bit at the back, and then James Martin's nephew, John Felix Martin,
mm-hmm.
he had the other part built on the front, the part with the lovely two, mm-hmm. lovely staircase going up.
Oh,
and
it's beautiful.
And the two
yes.
urns on the top of them.
Mm.
For a while, it had a sign in the front saying it was a house of James Martin, former member of Gawler, but that was incorrect. It was John Martin who lived in that house.
Okay.
Interesting thing with the urns. About 3 years ago, there was a report in the Bunyip the urns were stolen.
Right.
And one of the members of the National Trust lives in a house that was built on part of the block that was originally Euke House.
Is there any other significant historical places around Gawler which might interest our listeners?
There are quite a number, I would think, yes. Can I just go back to Martindale for a second?
Yes.
I was talking how the urns were stolen out the front.
Yes, you did, that's
and
right.
And a member of the National Trust... His house is built on part of the block that was originally Euke House. In the backyard was a fish pond.
Right.
He went cleaning it out one day, and then he found an urn. And it was obviously the urn that May Brothers had acquired from Canada,
mm-hmm.
from which they made copies.
Right.
Two of the copies were at Martindale.
Oh.
So when they were stolen, he offered Martindale his original,
mm-hmm.
which was pretty rusty. And
it would be, yes.
And they welcomed that. They took it away and they cast two new ones from it. When they brought it back, it was like new.
Wow.
They tissued it all up and painted up.
Oh, beautiful. Yeah.
So
that's the original one you're
the
talking.
Original original.
So they gave him back the original one in a better condition than he gave it to them.
Yes.
Yes.
One other thing I didn't finish with, and then I'll go with the significant houses. The two other foundries in the town, one was Britannia Foundry, which was on Barnett Road.
Right. Yes.
And the other one was the Eagle Foundry, which is on King Street, down near the...
Oh, yes, yes.
Near the caravan park.
Mm-hmm.
Both of those specialised in cast iron lace work. So much of that around the old houses of Gawler and some of the hotels. And the other thing they made was cultivator points and ploughshares. The last foundry to close in Gawler was the Britannia, mainly because they made almost identical stuff to what Anders were making out at Freeling. Mm-hmm. So Anders took that over and ran it for a few years.
Mm-hmm.
So that sort of takes care of the four foundries. As a matter of interest, James Martin's in the highest peak of his business employed 700 people.
Oh, wow.
Probably wouldn't have been much more than 700 blokes in the whole town.
Right.
May Brothers in harvest time, or prior to harvest when they were making grain equipment,
mm-hmm.
were employing 300.
Wow.
And there were roughly 30 at each of the other places. So if over 1,000 Gawler people worked in foundries.
Wow.
There's no industry in Gawler now. There is one piece of industry, and that's the small goods factory. That's all the industry.
Winterluck.
Only bit of industry left within the town of Gawler.
Because Timer's was gone too, wasn't it?
Timer left in 78.
Mm-hmm.
Opened in 1944,
mm-hmm.
and it ran until 1978. We've got a display in the museum of Timer, and a few months ago we decided we'd have a reunion of people that worked in it.
Mm.
Now, when you consider that it opened in 1944, so that gives us 56... 82 years to last year.
Mm-hmm.
So anyone who started in 1944 would be 82. No, yes. 82 plus whatever age they were when they started there.
Mm.
And even till 78,
mm.
We're still looking at a considerable amount of time.
My mother used to
work there. Well, we advertised in the back of the Sunday Mail, a little column there called Can You Help?
Oh, yes.
Tiny piece, about an inch and a half. We're going to have this thing there.
Because we didn't know about it. Yeah. She'd have been there.
Yeah. Ring my phone number, contact me on my email address. We ended up with 80 people.
Wow.
Turned up at the museum. You know, how the devil we fit in the middle, I know.
That is incredible.
In fact, there was a thought at one stage of where are we going to put them all? But 80 people turned up.
Awesome.
And most of them either saw that little advert,
right.
or somebody said, did you see the advert in the Sunday
right.
Mail? So we were quite impressed by that.
Oh.
There have been a couple of people that have come along since saying, when's the next one?
Yes.
So, keep your eye on the Sunday Mail.
Yes, well, my mum's 88.
Right.
And she worked there in... crikey. Oh, I can't remember.
Just one photograph on the wall of the museum where the display is. There was 136 machinists working in there.
Wow.
There were over 300 people in total working in it. And that's when they were down in the workshop of the Holden dealership.
Mm, that's right, on the corner there, wasn't
it? Mm. So, having dropped that one in on you, the other significant buildings. Walter Duncan's house out at Parapara.
Oh, yes.
About 22 rooms, that one. That puts poor old... Frederick May's place with his 17 rooms to shame, doesn't it?
Yes.
Beautiful place. It's got a portico out the front, and if you walk in On each side, there's a staircase going up to a landing.
Do they still do tours there?
No. Oh. No, private house.
Mm. I noticed the coach house at the front.
Yeah. Mm. So we when you go up on that landing, all of the upstairs rooms are entered off the landing. But if you look down, you're looking down on the ballroom.
Mm.
And a beautiful setup inside there. Been a lot of work for the existing owners and the previous owners to get it to the stage it is now. But it was in quite bad condition for a while there because it had been vacant. Funny little people called vandals tend to take over things like that. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a shame, isn't it?
Yeah. So that's one. Obviously, Frederick May's houses, both the Muke House and Sunnybrae, are worthwhile seeing. There's none of them really open for inspection. Mm. There's another nice place, very hard to see the front of it, and it's called Yenda.
Mm-hmm.
It actually backs onto Blanche Street, and it used to face into Edith Street.
Mm-hmm.
It was the home of Dr. Marnie,
mm-hmm.
and his wife was Eliza Reed,
right.
The daughter of John Reed, who lived on the property where we now have the park, Clonlea Park.
He lived on that property.
So, and strangely, their two daughters were Edith and Blanche.
Well.
So they lived between the. Of course. People, they subdivided Edith Street and people have built houses there and you can no longer see it.
Mm.
But going alongside Uke House, there's an L-shaped private laneway and you can walk around that and you can see what was the front of the house from that. The back of the house, facing onto Blanche, there's two stone buildings there.
Right.
One of them for a long time was a little school.
Yes.
The Missy's somebody ran a little school there.
Mm.
And the other one was a bakery. And one of the bakers that was in it, probably towards the end of its existence as a bakery, was an Assender. And Assenders now, of course, have Gawler South Bakery.
Oh, do they?
In fact, I'm told there's still a baker's oven left in that building. Right. I haven't seen it, but I was told it's still there.
Okay.
So that's another quite spectacular place. Just down the road here, of course, is James Martin's old house.
Is that the one behind Trevue? Golden Fleece? What's that big house there?
Oh, the one behind the Golden Fleece is, starts
High
with...
High Street. It's in High Street.
Starts with a C. Think of it in a minute.
The wall's just been done.
That was the home of Dr. Popham.
Okay.
And Dr. Popham used to have a cannon.
A cannon.
Now, if you imagine back in the days when Dr. Popham would live there, there were no big buildings around him to block him off, and he could see, apparently, right down towards Port Adelaide Outer Harbour. And when the mail boats came in, he'd see them and he'd fire off the cannon.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. And I can't think of the name of that one. I know it starts with a C, but I just can't get it at the moment.
Well, that's absolutely lovely, Graham, all that information. And it's been very informative for me because we've only been in Gawler about 3 years. That has been very helpful for me. And, I just think that's grand. Is there anything else that you can think we could put out there for our listeners
unless one of the cheeky things I used to say when I went to James Martin's house, James,
yes.
That's now a nursing home.
Yes.
But it's called Trevue.
Yeah.
And I used to, when I was doing a bus tour, I'd say, look, I apologise for this, but James Martin was a Cornishman and he never spelt very well, Trevue. But I'm told that it was French.
Oh, okay.
For three views, Trevue. Because in its day, you could see north, south and west, not to the east.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was in the side of the hill, leading up to here.
Right. So it was French for three views.
Yeah, Trevue. And it's spelled Trevue.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. So it would have had little...
So how's that for a bit of useless information?
That's lovely. Yeah. Thank you, Graham. Thank you very much for that. And yes, I think that's very interesting for our listeners.
Right.
I'm just...
This interview, recorded in the year 2017 by the Gawler Community Broadcasting Association, is available for download for purposes of educational research. We expect that any creative written or electronic work derived from the recording gives due credit to the interviewee, interviewer, and GBA.